From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We use lights to make manifest. A Christian man should so shine in his life that a person could not live with him a week without knowing the gospel. His conversation should be such that all who are about him should clearly perceive whose he is and whom he serves, and should see the image of Jesus reflected in his daily actions. Lights are intended for guidance. We are to help those around us who are in the dark. We are to hold forth to them the word of life. We are to point sinners to the Savior and the weary to a divine resting place. Men sometimes read their Bibles and fail to understand them. We should be ready, like Philip, to instruct the inquirer in the meaning of God's word, the way of salvation, and the life of godliness. Lights are also used for warning. On our rocks and shoals, a lighthouse is sure to be erected. Christian men should know that there are many false lights shown everywhere in the world, and therefore the right light is needed. The wreckers of Satan are always abroad, tempting the ungodly to sin under the name of pleasure. They hoist the wrong light. Be it ours to put up the true light upon every dangerous rock, to point out every sin, and tell what it leads to, that so we may be clear of the blood of all men, shining as lights in the world. Lights also have a very cheering influence, and so have Christians. A Christian ought to be a comforter, with kind words on his lips and sympathy in his heart. He should carry sunshine wherever he goes, and diffuse happiness around him. Gracious Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would gracious be, and with words that help and heal, would thy life in mine reveal. And with actions bold and meek, would for Christ my Savior speak.
Searching in vain for lies, for truth, for hope to guide their way. But they
Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his exposition of Paul's epistle to the Romans as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Christian Liberty and Matters of Belief and Behavior. The text is found in chapter 14 and a portion of chapter 15. The focus is on the issue of Christian liberty and the questions of how those who are strong in their faith are to behave toward the weaker brethren. What restraints does Christian love impose upon the strong believer? Paul's teaching shows clearly that the strong Christian's priority should be on the peace of the church and the edification of the saints. Now, Dr. Cairns continues this message, Christian Liberty and Matters of Belief and Behavior.
I must not do anything in developing or exercising my liberty that is going to upset the stability of my brethren. The most important thing is to have them going on with God. It's not to win them over to my side in an argument. It's not to get them to my way of thinking in this storm in a teacup. No, no. He said, my big desire is that they're stable in the things of God. And this is how to act charitably. So those are his instructions. For the rest of the chapter, he gets into some of the implications of those instructions. And since these verses speak for themselves, really, while you could preach for months on this passage, I'm not going to do so. Verse 16 means you don't do anything that may hurt your testimony. I think this is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. I think it's a verse that every Christian should know where it is and have it off by heart. Let not your good be evil spoken of. You see, there's a lot of Christians. They were in Rome and they're here in Greenville. And they do a lot of good. And then they undo it. Foolishly. Either by sin or even by pushing their liberty. Let me give you an example. Let me set aside the whole argument for a moment of whether a Christian should drink alcohol or shouldn't, or should be free to or should not be free to. Let me set that aside for a minute. I've told you of a young woman, actually a niece of my wife's, who was a very worldly girl. She told me this herself. She went into a bar. And there was a young man who sought to witness to her about Christ. He had a glass of booze in his hand. And she blistered him. She really let him have it. Or as another young woman in the firm I worked in as a young fella told a hypocritical young religious guy, it's hypocrites like you who have people like me the way we are. If it were even acceptable to that fella's conscience to take booze, was it worth losing his testimony for a glass of Guinness? Let not your good be evil spoken of. Do nothing that's going to hurt your testimony. Verse 17, Christianity is not a religion of externals. And to major on your liberty to eat or to drink, or the need to abstain because of the Mosaic law, Paul says, look, that's missing the real point. This is not a matter of externals. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, or not eating and not drinking. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, there is an internal spiritual reality. And the more God's people pursue the spiritual graces, the better they will be off. You see, when you get into the position, and it may transcend the situation in Rome, it may be a very different kind of situation, but the more you get into mere external religion, the more you get into defining your religion by sets of externals, the more you judge the reality of Christianity merely by externals, then the more you're going to lose out with God. You're told there's righteousness, there's peace, there's joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. Now there's a social character of uprightness, a testimony among others. There's peace. There is a social character that goes within the church where there are people who are now living in peace with each other. And there's also that personal character of the enjoyment of peace. And then there's joy in the Holy Ghost. That's personal. And that's regarding the body of Christ. You know, that's one of the most beautiful descriptions of the Christian life you'll get in the Bible. It's one of the most beautiful descriptions of the Christian church you'll get in the Bible. Let this church not simply be defined by our view of externals, but let us as a people live in righteousness. That's a big word in Romans, is it not? Mostly it's the righteousness of Christ imputed. This is the result of imputed righteousness in the life of a Christian. Let us as a church then live in the outpouring of a life that's lived in reaction to the gospel. Righteousness and peace. Why are so many churches turned into war zones? Why is that? Now, I know there's a time to stand up and be counted. I know there's a time when there needs to be a real fight in a church. If an apostate comes in and people start deviating from the gospel. But my experience in most churches is that most of the battle zones are because of things of personal preference. Little or nothing to do with anything of significance in Scripture. It's the very antithesis of what Paul says the Christian church ought to be. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will only be, as I was preaching this morning, he will only be in his temple, filling it with his glory and his power and the demonstrations of his fullness, where there is righteousness and when there is peace. He is the holy dove of God. And that holy dove of God may be easily grieved. Make sure we do not grieve him here. In verse 18, it's true spirituality that God approves of. We may boast of what we do or what we don't do. It's true spirituality that God approves. And then Paul gives us up to verse 19 and 20. He gives us the gospel principles by which our actions should take place. There's the peace of the church and the edification of believers. What should I do in this church? How should I act in this church? Well, act for the peace of the church. Now let me take it way beyond Romans 14. That's going to put an awful quick stop to a lot of the stupid gossiping that goes on in churches. I would be the last to hear it. People don't come to tell me I'm a gossip, so I would be the last to hear it. But I think also I would be a fool to realize that our people are not perfect. And I have no doubt that somewhere, and I'm not speaking of anybody in particular, I don't use the pulpit as a coward's castle. I'm not speaking of anybody in particular. If I had to say it to you, I would have you face to face and eyeball to eyeball with me, and I would say it to you. But I'm sure that somewhere we have loose tongues. I was saying to Mr. Hamill today, one of the biggest curses to hit the church is email. Every nutcase sends out an email. Now, I know there's a good use for it. Don't come and tell me, I did this good and that good. Yeah, it did. I understand that. But every nutcase who has something to say about somebody else or some stupid notion to perpetrate upon the church, he just sends out emails. Every grievance. The trouble with an email is he can sit down and hammer it out while he's still in the heat and confusion and passion of anger or bitterness or misunderstanding. And when it goes out, it's out there in the big wide world and it'll never be withdrawn. And the old days, a letter would go to a person. A person may be able to forgive it and forget it. Gets out into cyberspace. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on forever to curse both the person that sent it and the person against whom it's written. The peace of the church, the edification of the saints. That's what ought to inform our acting. In verse 20, the first part of the verse, we ought to have the principle of strengthening, not destroying, the work that God has done in another person's life. Remembering, as verse 20, the second part makes clear, in the words of Martin Luther, it's always dangerous dangerous to go against your conscience. You may look at a man's conscience and say, that conscience is weak. Weak or not, it's his conscience. And it is always dangerous to violate your conscience. In a word, verses 21 to 23 make it clear that a Christian, on whatever side of the divide, must live by faith. That's what it's all about. I think I should say something about that verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat. It sounds a very harsh statement. And as we would understand it today, it's not only harsh, it's totally unscriptural. That's not what Paul was saying, and it's not even what our translators intended. The word damned in those days, in 1611, simply meant judged or condemned. You had to work out the level of judgment and the level of condemnation. Here it's the condemnation of his own conscience. He that doubteth, I really don't think that's the translation at all. This is speaking of a man who is making distinctions among meats. It's the weak believer. He says if his conscience is hurt, and you prevail on him to eat, his conscience condemns him because he's not eating by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a mighty big statement. And it goes to the weak believer and the strong believer. You're to live by faith. What has Paul been saying from Romans 12, 1 right through? What have I been trying to emphasize these Sabbath evenings? Once we grasp the gospel, that gospel has to govern how we live. We live by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now these are the matters of indifference. I said that there was a second point, and I'm not going to forget my time tonight. But the matters of importance in chapter 15 actually just underline and emphasize what Paul has already been saying. We read 13 verses, and I know there are statements in there that demand or call for close examination, but I'm trying to follow the argument. I'm going to overlook those statements as statements and focus on the argument. Here Paul climaxes his whole argument, and what is he doing? He's calling on the people of God to display such a unity as their common calling in Christ demands. In Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile. He called them both to himself. The gospel applies to both of them. And whatever their differences arising from their views of the ceremonial law, they share a common faith. They're subject to a common authority, namely the Scriptures. And they rejoice in a common hope. So therefore, what is really of importance in the church? Follow me carefully. Here's what Paul deals with as matters of importance. 15 verses 1 and 2, live selfless lives. What we're told here, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. I have said it 100 times, I'll say it again. The greatest enemy of your spiritual life, the greatest enemy of the Church of Christ, is self. Live selfless lives.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.